Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Let us open to the book of Psalm 23. And our subject today is The Lord is My Shepherd, Part 2. Hallelujah. All right. So we know that Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 10, is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep is talking about us believers and to some extent even unbelievers. They are also sheep of Jesus who are not in the sheepfold. He said that other sheep have I got who are not in the sheepfold. They don't belong to the church yet. I must bring them in so that there will be one shepherd himself and one sheepfold. So Jesus is the shepherd, and all of us believers, we are the sheep of his pasture. Now in verse 3, if you look at the second part, he says that he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. If Jesus is your shepherd, he is going to lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Please underline for his name's sake. Now, with that understanding, we are going to go into verse number 4. So this is the Lord leading his people, and the essence is for his name's sake. So verse 4 says that, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Hallelujah. Right. So Jesus is leading us, but in his leading, sometimes he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Now that is not a pleasant place. A valley can be a wonderful place. A valley is normally full of life. A valley has got water, wells are dug there, and plants do well in the valley. Normally people will go and settle in the valley because the soil will be fertile and people enjoy life. But in Jesus leading us, sometimes the Bible says yes. It means that verse 4, that begins with yes, it's a continuation of verse 3. He's leading us in the path of righteousness, and then he says, yes, though I go to the extreme, all right? He leads me to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So in the leadership, he sometimes leads us in a bad valley, not a good valley, a bad valley, you know? Because this one is the shadow of death. It means that no life is there. No plant is growing there. No human beings are settled there. It's a very wasteful place. My question is that, what are you doing in the valley of the shadow of death? Because death is very close in that place. In other words, in that place, you can die easily. Death is near, so that it casts a shadow. Death is about taking you. You know, so that is a very bad valley. In fact, generally, I regard this valley as the earth, because the earth is the place where death took place when mankind sinned in the Garden of Eden. So you see that practically in our lives, every day we broadcast, we are going by, even walk in our homes, people die just by sleeping in their homes and hitting their head on a table. They die. So that you see that death is very close. That is the picture of the earth, generally speaking. So God leads us through, or he makes us walk through this place. And my question is that, what are we doing in a place of death, in a wasteland? Let us remember that verse 3b said that it is for his name's sake. So the reason why he leads us sometimes through difficulties, we have to walk through bad places, through afflictions and troubles in this world, in various aspects of our lives, is for his name's sake. What does it mean for his name's sake? It means that in the midst of death, or the nearness of death, he wants us to bring his name into that place. It is for his name's sake. It is for his name, his kingdom's sake, that he will lead his people sometimes to pass through difficulty. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that that is the way that our life is going to be. It's not as if God is not leading us. He is leading you. He is leading me. But sometimes we have to go through that place. And remember, the reason is for his name's sake. It reminds me of Ezekiel chapter 37, where the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord took Ezekiel and put him in a valley that we are talking about, a valley of dry bones. The Bible says that there was no life there. It was just dry. It was a very bad place. It was a valley of the shadow of death. And Ezekiel found himself led by God, the good shepherd, to this valley of dry bones. He allowed Ezekiel to walk through the whole place. The Bible says that he went around, he walked through it. And then God asked him a question, can these bones live? Ezekiel's answer tells me he wasn't happy. So do you know what he said? He said, God, you know what you're about. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that God knows what he is about in your life. When he takes you through difficulty, it is for his name's sake. It is so that he will bring his life to that place through you and through me. It is so that he will bring his kingdom to that wasted place through you and through me. Hallelujah. It is so that he will let his righteousness and his justice come to that wasteland, to that place, to that aspect of your life, to that aspect of our society, to that aspect of our world, where we call a valley of dry bones, where we think that nothing good can come out of. At the end of the day, the Bible tells us that God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and tell them that I am going to bring breath into you, muscles upon you, flesh upon you, skin upon you, and I'm going to put my breath in you, and you are going to live. Ezekiel just did that, and the name of God was manifest in that place. It was a picture of the church in the wilderness, so to speak, or the people of Israel, who said that we are just a valley of dry bones. Says that these are my people. The army that you see, they are my army. You think that they are being wasted, but they are not being wasted. I have a purpose for my army. And ladies and gentlemen, God is going to lead us in our lives, sometimes to dry places, sometimes to difficulties. Don't look around and say that, Lord, why am I here? Remember what he said. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yes, although you even go into the valley of the shadow of death, it is still for his name's sake. Hallelujah. And it is still a path of righteousness. It isn't a bad thing. It isn't because you have sinned. It isn't because you have done the wrong thing that the difficulty is coming your way. It is because he wants to show his glory. It is because he wants to manifest his name in that aspect of your life. Hallelujah. So I want to prophesy and say to you, like Ezekiel, that aspect of your life you regard as dry. Maybe in your marriage, maybe your relationship, maybe your academic life, you are struggling with it. I came to tell you that it is for his glory, and his name is going to be manifest as the God of victory in that circumstance. Hallelujah. Wonderful. The Bible says that although we walk through, and I want you to note the word walk, because when things are difficult around us, we want to run. We want to finish going round very quickly. We want to leave the place very quickly. Hallelujah. But God says that I will not let you run. I will not let you stay in the place either. I will not let you get stuck in the place either. You are going to walk through the place. Walking is an imagery of making progress. When you are walking, you are making steady progress. Sometimes we are walking through our difficulty, we are making progress oblivious to us. In other words, we are not aware that in that aspect of our lives, in our career, we are making that progress. We are not aware that we are gaining some experience that is going to enrich our ministry in future, that is going to enrich our marriage in future, that is going to enrich our family life in future. But God says that I'm going to let you go through it. I'm going to make you make progress in the midst of it. You are not going to get stuck in it. You are going to walk in it. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 that we should be patient in tribulation. Because when you are in trouble and you are in affliction, you want to get out of the fire very quickly. But the Bible says that patient in trouble. Because when you let patience have its perfect work, then you are going to be entire and complete, wanting nothing. Then you are going to be well baked and polished smooth to set in the corner. A vessel that has been well baked, that has passed through the fire, that did not rush through the fire, that was made to walk progressively, gradually, steadily through the fire. He comes out of the affliction and the fire well baked, and every side of this person is very pleasant to behold. It is very nice and beautiful because he didn't rush through the fire. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. But I have good news that your progress, you are going to make the progress in the midst of your affliction. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Because ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when we are in affliction, we want to freeze our lives. We want to stop doing any other thing because we have a trouble in our finances. What about your career? There is something that you can do. Hallelujah. Maybe you have trouble in your marriage. It doesn't mean that you cannot make progress in your self-development. You cannot make progress in your academic life. I came to tell us, ladies and gentlemen, that in the midst of your trouble, you are going to make progress. Hallelujah. And you are not going to get stuck in it. You are going to get through. I like the use of the word through, because it tells me that it is a temporary thing. Hallelujah. It is not forever. We are just sojourning through the earth. You are sojourning through that affliction and through that trouble. You are not going to stay in it. You are not going to get stuck in it. Very soon, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, he will come upon the scene in his kairos moment. And as a sovereign king, he will say, enough. It is enough. Let my son come out of this trouble. And God in his sovereignty is going to whisk you away from the valley of dry bones. He's going to place you in a wealthy place. Hallelujah. But you are going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, although I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he says that you are with me. You are with me. God being with you is enough. Just to know that he is with you. Jesus said that, lo, I am with you. That is the best promise he can give unto you, that I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall I fear? What man shall do unto me? Man can do nothing unto me, because this valley of the shadow of death is the domain of evil, where mankind is ruling, where the devil is ruling. But as long as the Lord is with you, you can be like the three Hebrew boys. You can be in the valley, you can be in the fire. There can be fire because of the dryness of the valley that you are walking through. But I came to tell you that the Lord is with you, and you are going to come out, and no smoke is going to be smelled on you. People are going to look at your life and they will say that you are dadaba, that you have not suffered anything. But you have suffered some things. It's only that the smoke didn't get into your cloth. It's only that the scourge did not disturb your skin. Your skin still looks nice because the Lord is with you. When the Lord is with you, the fire will not kindle upon you. And the people of this world are going to be amazed. Are in these people the people who are going through this affliction? I came to tell us, ladies and gentlemen, that God is with us, and that is enough. God is with you, that is enough. Because there are times in our lives you will see that your boss will not be with you. There are some challenges during your examination. You will see that your lecturer is not with you. You will see that your teaching assistant is not with you. You will see that your colleague who helps you to do your schedule of job, I mean in your workplace, he is not with you. There comes a time that there is nobody with you except the Lord. I want you to know that he is the majority. He is the Lord of hosts, and he is with you, and you are more than enough. Hallelujah. Those who are with you are more than those who are against you. Never forget it, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. He is with you. I came to tell somebody, he is with you. His name is Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Not God with us after the manner of the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, God has always been with mankind. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, God has been with us all the time, but in the birth of Jesus, he says that he is going to be called Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God with us in a different way, apart from the way that he was with mankind in the Old Testament. He is with you to help your life, to lift you up, to make you experience his glory, to manifest his name in a special, unique way. So I want you to expect it, that because the Lord is with you, you will fear no evil. What shall man do unto me? Men cannot hurt you. No person of authority on this earth can hurt you. They can only promote you. When it comes to promotion, God is going to use them to promote you and elevate you and bless you and all that, but they cannot catch you. They cannot minimize you. They cannot put you down. When they try to put you down, they realize that it is a tall order. It is not possible to be held down because God is with you. Hallelujah. You are going to pop up like a cock. You are going to rise up again, and they are soon going to realize that you cannot subjugate these people. You'll be found to be fighting against the Lord of hosts himself. I came to assure you today that because God is with you, oh, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can harm you. Nobody can victimize you. You will not be included in the bad statistics. God is going to vindicate you. He is going to take you out. He is going to make you an exception. When they are counting those who are victimized, you will not be part of it. It may look temporarily that you are part of the victimized people, that you are a victim, but I came to tell you that God is going to use everything to work together for your good. So that at the end of the day, it was not something that was against you. It was something that was a stepping stone for you. It is to enhance your life. It is to bless your life. It is to develop your life. It is to help your ministry. That is how come men appeared to be hating you. Because the Lord is with you. He says that I will fear no evil. Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
For thou art with me, say that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I love to think about it this way. Traditionally, we think that the rod is used for the sheep. But I want you to understand the context in which he said that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This person is in a bad place. He's not there. He's not in a place where you have to be lashing him, because already he's in affliction. When the Lord sees that you are in affliction, he doesn't add up to the affliction. He sees to lift you up. The rod is for your enemies. Hallelujah. He will lash your enemies. Vengeance is not yours. He will use his rod against the enemy situations in your life. And when you see that your shepherd has a rod, and he has brought out his rod against all the enemies in that valley, then you are comforted that the Lord is with me. He's going to fight my battles for me. The battle is not mine. He has a staff that shows that he is a shepherd. He has his rod that is going to be used against my enemies. Hallelujah. And all those who bring the affliction upon my life, God is going to afflict them for bringing the affliction upon my life. Hallelujah. Because he said that I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse them who curse you. Woe betide the person who comes against you. That is why the Bible says that pray for those who persecute you, because the Lord is going to get on their case and he's going to lash them very, very well, until they understand that these are the apple of my eye. This is somebody that I cherish. This is somebody you don't touch by heart. If you touch him, you touch the apple of my eye. And when you try to touch my eye involuntarily, I'll try to block your hand off. And my rod is going to be upon your life. Hallelujah. Let us take comfort that God is armed in the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't just come there just barehanded. He came there with a rod for the back of our enemies. Hallelujah. And let that be your comfort. Next verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know what is happening. This thing is happening still in the valley of the shadow of death, which I said generally is the earth. and maybe specifically certain difficulties you have in various aspects of your life. It can also be the valley of the shadow of death. He says that he's going to prepare you a table in the presence of the enemies. Hallelujah. He's not going to kill your enemy. He's not going to kill the devil. Sometimes you want God to take away all our enemies so that we know that the Lord is with us. No, he is with you even when your enemies are present. Hallelujah. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. So don't expect that all your enemies will be vanquished in a sense that they don't exist. Don't expect that all of a sudden on this earth there will be no problem in any aspect of your life. I came to tell you, child of God, that if Jesus is your shepherd, he's not going to take out all the enemies. He's going to leave some one or two of them around. Hallelujah. So that they see how he's going to bless you. Because he intentionally prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Get the picture. Your enemies are before you. And he puts a table before you in the valley of the shadow of death. And your enemies are there. They are beholding what God has prepared for you. You are going to eat right in the valley of the shadow of death. God is going to take care of you. Hallelujah. God is going to make sure that he prepares a banqueting table before you so that you learn to eat even when your enemies are present. Some of you, you lose appetite just because your enemy is there and he says, please don't be scared. Just eat. Don't have butterflies in your stomach. Just eat in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of your difficulties. Learn to enjoy yourself. Because look, ladies and gentlemen, if even you are 150 years old, you will still have troubles on this earth with the Lord being with you. Troubles will always be there. Enemies will always be there. You must learn the art of enjoying life. Enjoying life in spite of the difficulty in your marriage. Enjoying life in spite of the difficulty in your finances. Enjoying your life in spite of the fact that you are believing God for something and nothing. You believe it doesn't happen. You believe it doesn't happen. They may say that you are blessed, but you lack this and you lack that. Please do not focus all the time on what you lack. Look at the table that has been spread before you and enjoy your life. Because life is short. Eternity is long. Let us enjoy our youth. Let us enjoy with the wives of our youth. Let us enjoy at every stage in our life. Make lemonade out of the lemons in your life. When there is difficulty and it is winter and it is a rainy season and the weather is bad, remember that there is nothing like bad weather. There is only bad clothing. You can change your clothing and enjoy the winter. You can change your clothing and enjoy the rain. Although the rain is falling, you can just go out in the rain and enjoy the rain all the same. You don't wait for a good weather because there is no bad weather. God didn't create bad weather. We have to learn to adjust and change our perspective and enjoy our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, break down your problem and you will see that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and enjoy the light. Don't look morose. The Lord is your shepherd. Enjoy your life at every stage. Hallelujah. Don't let jealousy make you not enjoy what God has blessed you with. He blessed you with a nice face. Enjoy your face. He blessed you with a nice body. Enjoy your body. He blessed you with a nice car. Enjoy your car. Enjoy yourself in the presence of your enemies. Learn to enjoy. Hallelujah. I don't know, but if you have to feed your enemy, feed him. The Bible says if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Because when you do that, you are heaping coals of fire upon his head. I'm talking to you about enemies who are human beings. People who have said that as long as I am, you, I will make sure that you are not promoted, you will suffer. I will make sure that things are difficult. Your ministry will never come up. Your ministry, yeah, I have put a curse upon it. I have done something to you. I am not going to support you because you have hurt me and things like that. I came to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that do not be afraid. Enjoy. Enjoy. And when such people who have arrayed themselves against you and they have vowed that they are going to be the hand of God to disturb your marriage, to disturb your ministry, to disturb your life, to make you regret what God has called you to in the name of fighting for God, I want you to know that when such people, they want some food from you, give it to them. When they want water, bless them with the water from the feasts table that God has put before you. I love the next one. He says that if Jesus is your shepherd, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to anoint your head with oil. I love it Do you know why I love it? Because he didn't tell me that he will anoint your hands with oil. He didn't say I will anoint your body with oil. He said that this head I am going to anoint it with oil, and I'm going to make you intelligent. I'm going to give you a wisdom above your age, above your peers. I am going to give you revelation that nobody has thought about. I am going to anoint this head with oil, because when your head is anointed with oil, your cap will run over. Not when your hand is anointed with oil, not when your body is anointed with oil, but when your head is anointed with oil. If there is any anointing that you are looking for, you want to tell Jesus, who is the good shepherd, anoint my head. Because when my head is anointed, my hands will be anointed. When my head is anointed, my feet will be anointed. Because my head and the revelation that I have is going to control every aspect of my life. Anoint my head with oil. That is how your cup runs over. Don't go chasing anointing on your hands. Don't go chasing, I don't know whether you can take it. Go for the place of the skull. Jesus died in Golgotha. He chose a place of the head to die in. Golgotha means a place of the skull. S-K-U-L-L. It's talking about the head. Jesus aims for the head. The Bible says that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. When he is your shepherd, he wants to anoint you. Go for an anointing of wisdom. Go for an anointing of revelation. Go for an anointing of understanding. Anything that pertains to your head, go for it. Hallelujah. You will see that your cup is soon going to run over. And my problem as I end is that I don't understand why you should go with a cup. Because when your cup is running over, you are wasting it. You are wasting whatever resource God gives you. Why is it that Hagar, you are told to bring a vessel to fetch water, and then you bring a very small vessel. You take water from the oasis that the angel opened the eyes of Hagar when she was running away from the mistress Sarah. She just filled a little cup, a little water bottle. And then it came to a time they drank the dinner, and then the thing got finished. Hagar should have gone around looking for a barrel. That is what I came to tell the sheep of the good shepherd. Let us stop sending the cups unto him, because you know people like to fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. I want to say, fill my barrel, Lord. I drag it to you, Lord. Come and quench this testing of my soul. God wants to fill our barrel. Whatever vessel you send to him, he will fill it, because his name is Elisha. He is a God of riches. He is a God who is more than enough. He gives unto us, and John chapter 10 verse 10 says that he gives life, and life more abundantly. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let the cup overflow. You are wasting it. Go with a barrel. I came to tell somebody, let us expand our capacity. Although we may be walking in the valley of the shadow of death, let us have big dreams. Don't be afraid at all. Like maybe you see, Pastor, if you look at this valley, the cap is okay because the system is dry, the economy is bad. I mean, the industry, we are not doing well in the medical field, we are not doing well in the banking field, we are not doing well as engineers. What we do best is that we dance. Africans, yeah, we dance and we play drums and we dance and we do art. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go for a scientific vessel and send it to God and say that, God, anoint my head with scientific ideas like Albert Einstein, and fill the barrel, not a cup. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. Wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. Time will fill me to break this down for you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy follows us. We don't run for it. It follows us. Hallelujah. And so surely, it means that it is a certainty. Dear child of God listening to me, if Jesus is your shepherd, don't expect bad luck to follow you. Some people say that my head is not good. No, he has anointed your head with oil. Now goodness and mercy is what is going to follow you, not some of the days of my life, not during weekends and weekdays because of my job and the difficulties. I mean, I see bad luck and all those demons, they are following me from my ancestry, from my family background. They are all after my life. I came to tell you, stop saying that. No ancestral thing is following you. Even Abraham, who was worshipping idols, When God said that he could leave the heir of the Chaldees, do you know no devils were following him? You enjoy the blessing of Abraham because he has been made a curse for you. All the generational curses are vanquished. Only goodness and mercy are following you. Not generational curses are following you. Everywhere that you go, what came upon your father is following you. No, he says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, not some of the days of my life, but all the days of my life. All the days of my life, my future is good. I will not be broke in future. My future is going to be full of abundance because I have a good shepherd who supplies my needs and gives me life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. More than enough. My cup runs over. More than enough. My barrier runs over. Hallelujah. So that there is enough for me all the days of my life. Not during the time that I marry in the beginning, honeymoon, dear, my husband treats me fine, and maybe after 1 year difficulty is going to come. No, don't expect difficulty to come, no matter how it occurred in your big brother's marriage, in your big sister's marriage. I came to tell somebody, all the days of your life, because Jesus is your shepherd, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you. It's going to follow you all the days of your life. You don't run after signs and wonders. When your head is anointed with oil, it follows you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know the house of the Lord? The house of the Lord is not talking about heaven. The Bible says that heaven is my throne. It's not my house. Heaven is my throne. Jesus taught two times that heaven is the throne of God. And I believe Jesus because he knows God better. And he understands the system of God better. Better than any prophet will prophesy in the Old Testament. Jesus taught two times that heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. The house of God is talking about Jesus himself. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I will live in Jesus forever. Even when I'm enjoying all the blessings and the goodness all the days of my life, I will still remain a believer. I will still be in Christ. I will still be a believer. I will still be hiding in the secret place of the Most High God. When he is my shepherd, he will not let me just go like that. He said, I am the door of the sheep. If the devil wants to touch me, he must come through Jesus. Jesus says he must come through me. I am the door. When you pass through me, then you have access to the sheep. As long as Jesus is the one in whom we live, I came to tell us that we are saved as we enjoy his blessing. Don't be afraid. You are catered for. You are covered by the good shepherd. You will live in him. You will live in him. You remain a believer. You remain in the house of the Lord. Granting you want to take the house of the Lord to be the church where you are listening to me from, or to be wherever you are going to dwell there forever. You are not going to abscond from church. You are going to make time from church. No matter how busy you are going not to put your ministry down. No matter how sought for you are going to make time for the house of the Lord. You are going to make time for God. This is the blessing of the person who makes Jesus his shepherd. God bless you. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.